Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette, this is Acadiana's number one sports station, 1037 The Game. Streaming live on 1037thegame.com and on the 1037 The Game mobile app. It's game day, and we're going behind the glass with the famous CD.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
The new guy, Blaine Viator. Cody Schutz. It's the producers on 1037 The Game.
Hey, I heard you missed us. We're back.
We're doing it again. Another Too Fast, Too Furious edition of the producers on 1037 The Game and 1037thegame.com. So let's fire them up on this Saturday morning. Hopefully you're having a great one so far. Obviously, a lot to get to on this Saturday morning. We've only got 30 minutes to do it, and I'm being quiet on us. We've only got a few minutes before we get our good brother on to talk some New Orleans Saints with me. Because, hey, you got the NFL Draft Combine going on right now. You've got LSU basketball, LSU baseball. So much to get to. But we only got about 20-something minutes left to get to it before we send you off to LSU basketball when they take on the Alabama Crimson Tide at home, or on the road, excuse me, at Coleman Coliseum coming up at 11 o'clock, 10:30 pregame. That being said, again, a lot going on this weekend. It's the first weekend of March. Mardi Gras is in full swing. College baseball on tap this weekend. LSU Texas, it's an incredibly fun series to me. And I think the best part of it is the fact that one of the tougher challenges is past you in Bryce Elder. I know Zach Hesse got hurt early on in that matchup last night, and I think that's a big scare for the Tigers going forward, is if he can be the same guy that he has been this season, or at least in his last two starts. Last night, obviously, in his limited appearance, and then, of course, in that game against Bryant where he looked pretty darn good. Again, Zach Hess is a guy that I love to see kind of get back into the groove of things, because he has been one of the better names for the Tigers the last couple of seasons. Sure, he's had inconsistency as a starter, but as a closer, he looked phenomenal as a freshman. I think he's starting to get over that, and he's starting to do some really good things, at least from the aspect of me, a guy who hasn't necessarily talked to Zach Hess all that much. It's tough to say right now with how long he could be out for, or if he's going to be out at all. I think that there's a lot of things going on with LSU and Texas in this series. Biggest thing for me, though, is Tigers offense is going to get a real test, because this pitching rotation that the Longhorns have is pretty darn good. That being said, though, I like LSU's chances of taking at least two out of three here, especially because of one man and one man only. That's Antoine Duplantis. The dude is an absolute monster when it comes to offense for the Tigers. He's been one of the best hitters for the Tigers of all time. Yes, Eddie Furness still holds the record, but guess what? That record's meant to be broken, and Antoine Duplantis is the guy that's going to break that record this season. I can just feel it in my bones. The dude is phenomenal, and if Antoine Duplantis is in your lineup, I would love to pick that team 9 times out of 10. And some of the stuff I wanted to get to is definitely the Cajuns 2019 schedule that was released yesterday morning, along with the rest of the Sun Belt, which is another rant for another day about why we have to wait until March 1st to get the schedules for the Sun Belt Conference, while the SEC puts theirs out for next season in November. Again, another rant for another day. You look at the Cajun schedule, obviously Mississippi State and New Orleans to start things off. Then you got host Liberty, Texas Southern, at Ohio to wrap up your non-conference slate. They're 4 straight games, which is just fantastic to begin with. I think the Cajuns have every chance of going 3-1 to start the season with this schedule. It's very, very favorable, and I'm leaning towards the Cajuns doing just that, getting to a 3-1 start. That would be huge for the Raging Cajuns. And then I feel like it's very much a weird place right now, the Sun Belt Conference. You don't have Scott Satterfield, App State, Neil Brown, Troy. They want to go and get better jobs. Coastal Carolina's head coach, Joe Moglia, one of the surprise teams out of the conference, he actually stepped down. Definitely a lot of health issues he's had the last couple of seasons. I think that makes this conference a lot more interesting. Mind you, App State, they can still be a pretty damn good team because they've still got a lot of talent around that program from the Satterfield era. I think that could wind up helping out the new head coach over there, Eli Drinkwitz. Fantastic name, by the way. That being said, though, I'm not going to give a outright prediction, way too early prediction, I should say, for the Cajun schedule. I'll save that once I see some spring ball and probably once I see some fall practice and everybody's in there. Chandler Fields is in there. Everybody's in there, and we get to see the quarterback battle that we've been waiting for. Because I feel like that's the biggest storyline for the Cajuns heading into the 2019 season is who's going to be the quarterback. It feels like it's a broken record, but I like what I've seen from the guys they'll have in place to where I'm not as nervous as other years where we didn't know who the quarterback was and none of the options were really all that tantalizing. Again, just so much to talk about, and we got to talk about LSU-Alabama on the hardwood is going to be a good one, especially since it's on the road because Coleman Coliseum, the Tigers don't like that place. It's a tough place to play for everybody, but the Tigers especially because they've only won twice inside Coleman Coliseum, and that was in 2004 and 2016. That's since the year 2000. Mind you, if I want to go in deeper into the archives, I'm sure that's longer of a gap. But, you know, I don't have time to kind of dive into all that. And that's huge when it comes to picking this ballgame. The guys in the desert are going to look at that extensively. I'm just going to lean towards LSU right now because I like what I've seen from LSU on the road because they've won seven straight, you heard me, seven straight games this season on the road in SEC play. That is amazing. This isn't your slightly older brother's LSU team, and they can't get it done outside the friendly confines. I'm taking the Tigers on the road and do something that hadn't been done in a long time back in 2016. And also, I think it's been a lot longer than that whenever they've gone 8-0 on the road in SEC play. I got to go ahead and take a quick commercial break. Come back. I've been talking with the good brother, Ross Jackson, chatting him up about the NFL draft for the Saints, free agency, and a little who should stay and who should go when it comes to free agents for the New Orleans Saints. You're listening to the producers right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. We're live, as always, from the 237 Roof Studios, pal.
Let's begin now.
Welcome back to a Too Fast, Too Furious edition of the producers right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. And we're about to have a really good day because we got to have on our guy to talk some New Orleans Saints, Ross Jackson of All Saints Considered and Locked On Saints podcast. The guy covers Saints unlike any other, so we gotta get to it right now. What's going on, brother?
Hey, much appreciated, my man. Glad to be able to be on here with you. How you doing? How you been?
I am good, man. And I mean, thinking, you know, we hadn't talked to you since after the NFC title game. You've been eating that Jenny's ice cream like Sean Payton since we last talked to you.
Well, you know, I'm a home guy, so I'm a Bluebell dude. But,
yes,
you know, yeah, same idea.
All right. Favorite flavor of Bluebell?
Oh man, I'm a mint chocolate chip apologist, man. I love me some good mint chocolate chip.
Mind you, I'm a cookies and cream guy. Don't get me wrong; that's some good stuff right there.
I feel you.
On a more serious note, man, we got the NFL draft combine is going on as we speak, and there's a lot of things that we could talk about. Obviously, Sean Payton definitely is the big talking point because he brought up, once again, it's almost like a tradition unlike any other. You have Sean Payton bringing up big-name quarterbacks and talking about what kind of intangibles they have. And he brought up, of course, Kyler Murray, a guy who's unattainable in that second-round spot. We'll get to that in a little bit. But when do you think he and the Saints organization are going to pull the proverbial trigger on getting a young quarterback?
Yeah, I guess it kind of depends, but we got to see what happens with free agency this year. If Teddy Two Gloves sticks around, then that's going to sort of kick that a little bit further on down the road. There is an insanely good quarterback class coming in the 2020 draft, so I could definitely see him, regardless of whether or not Teddy Bridgewater stays, maybe taking a later round quarterback because that class is really deep next year. But certainly, I mean, I would imagine you're going to want to go with one of these young guys in the next couple of years. You know, yeah, Trevor Lawrence coming out in 2021. He's going to be out of reach, but he's going to lead off what is also going to be a really deep quarterback class in 2021. So, I mean, I could see him. Here's the thing. You know, it's just like you said, it's kind of like tradition. Kyler Murray this year, Lamar Jackson last year, Mason Rudolph the year before that. This is just what Sean Payton does. He comes out and he gets everybody, you know, excited and everything about, you know, some quarterback's name that he dropped and whatnot. This is just kind of what he does. But eventually, he's going to be in a position to where he's going to have to be able to take one of those guys that might be coming within the next 2 years.
Exactly. You brought up a lot of guys. Obviously, Kyler Murray this year, a couple of years ago, as Pat Mahomes was his toy du jour. So I think this is definitely a lot of things to look at for the New Orleans Saints, is that you need to be able to get that quarterback. But obviously this year isn't the year, with Kyler Murray being the only real notable quarterback. Next year you have your boy Jalen Hurts. You have a lot of really big talented players going to wind up getting into the NFL draft in 2020. So I think 2020 should be the year they pull that trigger and get a young quarterback, and probably Drew Brees would expedite that process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could definitely see it. And I think that it's going to be one of those things where, you know, like, they're not really worried about the quarterback situation until they know for sure that Drew Brees is on his way out, until they know that he's hanging it up. And so, you know, that would really put that prime sort of position to be next year or the year after, for sure.
Looking over the Saints' draft prospects, they don't have that much to go with. Obviously, they've got that second-round pick. And just with that in mind, where do you think the Saints should be leaning in that pick in terms of a position, or do you have a player in mind that the Saints should be getting?
Well, you know, if you had asked me that question maybe a month ago, I probably would have jumped right on to talking about all of the tight ends in this class. This is an extremely deep tight end class, and that was one of the big missing pieces in the offense last year. Just in terms of the style of tight end that the Saints have been pursuing since the Jimmy Graham trade. But, you know, with the loss of Sheldon Rankins in the playoffs, with the possible suspension of David Onyemata after the trouble that he saw earlier in February, more than likely he's going to be suspended for the first at least two, maybe three, four games, somewhere in that range, 2 to 4. I could also see them going interior defensive line. And then, of course, as always, which is the other part of the Saints draft tradition, if there's an offensive lineman that's sitting there, you know, I could see them going for the offensive lineman at 62 as well. So a couple of names that come to mind at each of those positions. In terms of offensive line, my one and only in the second round that really stands out to me is Michael Dieter out of Wisconsin. They've had really excellent progress out of Ryan Ramczyk, who was also out of Wisconsin. They took him at the bottom of the first round a couple of years ago. He's been excellent. And Dieter's one of those guys that can play all around the line. He played three different offensive line positions in his four years in college, and he got honors all of those years despite playing all of those different positions. So he's somebody that can do that, and the Saints really value versatility on the offensive line. A couple of people at tight end to watch, obviously, Isaac Nauta is a big one. If he was to make it there, Noah Fant, if he were to make it down there, I don't think he makes it out of the first round. But now with Jason Witten staying in Dallas, that does take one tight end needy team off of the list. But one guy that I'm really watching is Dawson Knox, and I suggest everybody watch him during the combine out of Ole Miss. He doesn't have a ton of production in terms of numbers. But when you go back and you watch, like, DJ Metcalf's film or A.J. Brown's film or even DeMarcus Lodge's film, you kind of see this guy standing over, you know, standing in the middle of the field wide open, not getting the ball thrown to him. That's Dawson Knox. That's who that guy is. So he's definitely somebody to keep an eye on. He's a great route runner, former quarterback and wide receiver, so he's got a lot of intangibles that you don't usually have at the wide receiver, at the tight end position, and they expect him to run fast at the 40. And then over in the interior line, I'm looking at guys like Jerry Tillery out of Notre Dame, who's a big-time power rusher. You could also throw DeMont Jones in there, but I'm really all about Jerry Tillery at that position.
Talking right now with Ross Jackson of All Saints Considered, Locked On Saints podcast, and the dude just broke it down like a fraction when it comes to what the Saints should be getting with that second-round pick. I feel like I'd probably wind up asking what to do with some of those later-round picks, but honestly, We only have so much time in this Too Fast, Too Furious edition of The Producers. Maybe we'll do that down the line. But we got to talk about something Mike Triplett of ESPN put out a few days ago. It's a more interesting article saying the Saints should be focusing on Michael Thomas's monster deal that's going to be coming up next season. During this offseason, he's been focusing on that, trying to make sure to get ready for that kind of situation. You agree with that?
I do. And I think that that is a big part of what the reason that New Orleans might not spend huge in free agency this year. You know, they, I think it was Josh Katzenstein over at NOLA.com talking about how Josh Hill is more than likely going to be tight end number one going into the season. They're going to roll with him there. What that reads to me is they're not looking to spend for a big time free agent to make an impact at that position. And they're going to go to the draft instead. So you keep the young guys, you get young guys in that can be impact players through the draft that stay on rookie deals for a while. And then you have the money to sort of prepare for the big time, big, huge contract that Michael Thomas is going to get, the big contract that Ryan Ramczyk is going to need down the line, that Alvin Kamara is going to need down the line, that they deserve down the line and things. And so I 100% expect for them to start doing that. A big part of that, too, is going to be, let's say that this is Drew Brees' last year, that's going to free up a lot of the money that could go toward him, that could go toward Michael Thomas as well. And then you're going to start seeing some restructures in the contracts. Cam Jordan, they would be very smart to extend him, just like the Eagles just did with Brandon Graham today, finding a way to keep him in, but then also spreading his cap number out. That will also save them some money. Then you can see a couple of other cap-saving moves that might take place, too. But I 100% think that they should start getting ready for that contract extension. The Saints have a history of not always liking to pay for their big-time players, and then you end up with situations like Jimmy Graham being shipped off to Seattle and things like that. I am not advocating at all for Michael Thomas to be traded. That would be insane. I'm just saying they need to start preparing for that contract extension now.
Exactly. You need to prepare for that now. And we talk about Jimmy Graham. I think that actually worked out for everybody because Jimmy Graham,
did.
I think that was possibly the best thing the Saints have been able to do over the last several years in terms of offseason moves. But obviously, trading Michael Thomas, that'd be the dumbest thing ever. Then again, having him a football organization run a basketball organization isn't far off from the ledge, brother. Talk right now with Ross Jackson of the All Saints Considered and All Saints Considered Locked On Saints podcast. The man just covers the Saints like nobody else. And we got to talk about Mark Ingram real quick because I think that's the biggest thing for the New Orleans Saints this offseason outside of the Michael Thomas deal is to get Mark Ingram re-signed for a couple of years because I feel like you keep that continuity with Alvin Kamara because those two feel inseparable, man. Because I would love to see these guys stay around for a couple of years.
Oh, absolutely. Would love to see him stick around. I think that he's somebody that, you know, he was on the Rich Eisen show not too long ago talking with John Kuhn, who was hosting that day. And they were talking about how, you know, as far as he, the way that he feels, he doesn't have a ton of tread off of the tire. He's still got a ton of tread on the tires, rather. He's only got a few. He's not his carry number, despite having been in the league a little bit longer, the amount of carries that he has isn't far separated from guys like Le'Veon Bell and Todd Gurley, who are going 200 carries a year, 250 carries a year, things like that. And so he still feels like he's got a good 3 years of elite football left in him, elite level football left in him. And I'd love to see him spend all three of those years here in New Orleans alongside his homie, Alvin Kamara. And, you know, look, the organization has said that they want to work it out. He has said that he doesn't want to go anywhere. He wants to be a Saint for the rest of his career. And so the intent is there. Now it's just about finding the right compensation and making sure everybody feels, you know, represented in there. Because he could go somewhere and he could get big money. He could go to Kansas City, for instance, and get a nice deal. He can go to New York and get a nice deal. He can go to the Jets to get a nice deal. He could even go to Oakland. I wouldn't, but he could to get a nice deal. But he wants to stay in New Orleans, so I think they'll find a way to work it out.
Now it's time for some fun stuff before I let you go. We got rapid fire some rapid fire stuff, stay or go. And I got to start things off. We got to talk about our guy, Manti Te'o. The guy has been phenomenal for this team after kind of having the stink on him after Notre Dame and the whole catfishing incident. He definitely has been enjoying his time in New Orleans. What can you say about Manti Te'o, stay or go?
I think he's a go. Is it rapid fire? It's where I just say stay or go, or can I give a little? Can I expand a little bit?
You can give a little bit.
Give a little bit. I think he goes. Nickel defense packages. It has become the base package for Dennis Allen. He's there for the next 3 years. Manti Te'o's not on the field for there. They can find somebody in the draft to serve as a run stopper.
All right. Next up, we got to talk about Teddy Two Gloves. You brought him up at the beginning, so why not keep it going? Stay or go, Teddy Bridgewater.
Oh, I'm gonna say. People are gonna come at me for this, but I'm gonna say go. Save that money.
Oh.
Don't tie up so much money. I know. Don't tie up so much money at that quarterback position. You've got some people in the future you can look to. People are gonna hate me for it, but I'm gonna say go. I think he does.
All right. Next up, we got to talk about tight end Josh Hill. Honestly, I'm saying go, and I wouldn't be surprised if you go in that same route.
Oh man. Well, I've got to into the what I want. I'm going to say go, save that money. But they did just give him that, I think, 2-3 year extension and everything. So he's staying. He's sticking around. But, you know, he won't be around for much longer than he needs to be.
All right, stay or go, Craig Robertson.
Oh, stay. He's a dog. You know, he always talks about everybody being a dog. He's one of those sort of emotional leaders on the defense. He's going to come to you for cheap, and he's a special teams guy. Saints love their special teams guy. They might have to choose between he or Chris Banjo. If they do so, I could see them going Craig Robertson.
All right, Justin Hardy, stay or go?
Oh, Justin Hardy is a stay. They got him in there off of that exclusive rights deal. It's super cheap to keep him around. He's one of the best gunners in the league. Stay, keep him, get him in there. And you're already pretty thin at your cornerback position because you got P.J. Williams and King Crawley also going in the free agency.
And you brought up King Crawley. Might as well go that route as well with him. Stay or go?
Go. That's my answer. Go.
just get out of here. Just don't even bother. Just don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. That's awesome, Ross.
I'm saying.
All right, now it's like, before I let you go, I want to kind of change things up a little bit because I know it's the off season, and it interests me because you do a podcast centered entirely around the New Orleans Saints. How does that go during the off season? What you got on tap for the off season?
Oh, man, every single day I'm still coming with episodes because, you know, look, the combine is underway right now. I literally have the combine on the TV right now watching these offensive linemen doing their drills. So it's about keeping you up to date with what's going on with prospects, keeping you up to date about what's going on with free agency. The NFL has become a year-round sport now. It's not all on the field year-round, of course, but there's so much going on. And so I'm looking at reviews. I've been reviewing each position group, looking forward to what the Saints might be doing, looking at possible moves, names, everything you need to know about free agency, about the draft, about what's going on with the Saints. I got you covered every single Monday through Friday right there on Locked On Saints.
Ross, thanks so much for coming on, my man. We'll talk to you down the road once we get closer to free agency, maybe the NFL draft. I'm sure you can break it down in a lot more in-depth stuff. Thanks so much for coming on. We'll talk to you down the road.
Absolutely, my brother. You take care.
All right, that was Ross Jackson. You follow him on Twitter, at Ross Jackson ASC. And, brother, we are smack dab out of time. Some fantastic conversation with our guy, Ross Jackson, of All Saints Considered Locked On Saints podcast. You need to give this dude a follow. If you listened to that entire interview, you heard all kinds of great stuff. I'm out of here. Next week, we're finally back to 2 hours. We're able to explore the space a little bit more. Half-hour increments, it's okay. It's not ideal, but, you know, we'll deal with it. It is what it is. Be back with you next week. 2 full hours. You're listening to 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. LSU pregame show against Alabama on the hardwood next.
Hey, Clavis, wake up. The show's over.
Oh, yeah. Kick it.